Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Family Church Mayville. We're excited to have you today. I hope you're excited to be here. Glory to God. God's got a good word for us. Amen. I got it early in the week, so praise the Lord. Get all week to get prepared for it. Hallelujah. We here today. Glory to God. I'm just making sure. Hallelujah. We don't want to have a down service. We want to have an up service. Remember, there's three parts to every service. There's God's part. He did his part. There's my part. I did my part. And then there's your part. Praise the Lord. And you get to prove whether you're going to do your part right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. You know, sometimes that doesn't. I take a drink when I've been talking, but I take the drink as I've been talking. And so I haven't fully finished the talk yet. And then it just makes me cough. I'm doing exactly the opposite of what I intended it to do. Well, praise the Lord. Today's message is called, What Do They See? Amen. Praise the Lord. What do they see? I've been noticing as I've been preparing messages lately that an awful lot of my messages, the titles are in the form of questions. And I get the title just like I get the message. So I don't necessarily just come up with it on my own, but the Lord gives it to me. And I've been noticing that the reason, you know, for that is because God's having us look at our own hearts. What God has been kind of promoting in this church a lot is to examine ourselves, praise the Lord. And then one of the number one things that a Christian can do is examine themselves. You know, just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that we've got it figured out. Although, you know, sometimes what we portray to the world is that. But we need to examine ourselves and make sure that our motives are right, that the things that we're doing them for the right reason. You know, even things that seem righteous, we can be doing them for the wrong reason. But this message, praise the Lord, was really born out of some conversation that we had with some people, with some family members, praise the Lord. And it's interesting how it came about, because we were just talking about some other family members, not talking about them in a bad way or whatever, but they were just relaying some stories through growing up, you know, through years living in families together. And one of the things, you know, that was, is these were unsaved family members that we were talking to, so ones that don't go to church, don't know God. And the ones they just happened to be talking about, and they didn't relay this, but the ones they just happened to be talking about, we know are Christians. Praise the Lord. And the things that they were saying about them weren't good. The things that they were relaying about them weren't good. And what I mean by good, again, we weren't like talking trash about them. That wasn't our intent at all. And I don't really think it was their intent at all, but they were relaying some stories. But what I'm saying is that the stories they were relaying, I was recognizing as not good. And then what the Lord started dealing with me with in this conversation was the fact that a lot of times what Christians are showing the world is exactly the opposite of what God is. And people don't think that they're having an effect on them, but that's, you have to understand that for a lot of people, you may be the Jesus that they see. For a lot of people, you may be the only God that they'll get to know. And so how you live your life and how you decide to do things does matter, amen? And we need to ask ourselves, one of the primary questions a Christian should ask themselves is, what does the world see when they see you? See God? Do they see a God of prosperity? Do they see a God, a healing God? Do they see a God of love? Or do they see a God of, you know, I'm not looking at you as God, you understand. But are you reflecting the God that you serve or that you claim to serve? You know, the things that we do, for God are very important. How we live for God is very important. You know, again, so often as I look around here today, I think most people, I've seen you mostly before or, you know, for the most part anyways. And so if I haven't seen you before, you may be excluded from this. But for the rest of us, we've been here for some time. We've been here, you know, and heard the word. And so it's imperative that our lives do change. And you think, well, you might say, well, Pastor Jeff, how does that have anything to do with me? It has everything to do with you, because you decide whether or not your life changes or not. You decide if you're going to stay where you're at, or you decide if your life changes. How do you decide? You decide by what you do. Do you connect to the word and say, yes, the word is true. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a doer of the word, and therefore my life will change. Or do you just say, I can't do that, or I don't agree with that, or I don't want that, and thereby keeping your life the same? Because really, that's what the choice is. It's really that simple. you know, when you first come into church, you may come in broken, you may come in hurt, looking for answers. But at some point, you need to be getting the answers. At some point, you need to be living it. Amen. You need to, it is your job, in fact, to live this life. I said it's your job to live this life. We preach about the blessing of God, which is true. Prosperity of God is true. But it's not just important that we know that God is wants to prosper us. It's important that we live it, that we must live what God has provided for us. We must live in it. We must grab hold of the blessings of God and say we will live in it. Because if we don't, what we do is we show the world a God who really does change. Amen. But as I was, again, I was reflecting, or as I was reflecting on that conversation we had with these family members, it was interesting because the things that they were talking about them or bringing up about them were really quite awful characteristics in people. I mean, you know, people who are very stingy and people who would, you know, manipulate and lie, and people who were constantly trying to deceive the system, you know, making false insurance claims and all kinds of things like that, you know, and all these things reflect who they are. And but the whole time they claim to be churchgoers. Oh, I believe in Jesus and you should too. Think about that. Think about what it shows the world. Amen. Glory to God. We're in a season called tax season. Everybody loves tax season. Well, some people do, some people don't. You know, there's been various times in my life where I have loved tax season. There's been times in my life where I've hated tax season. But I'm going to tell you one thing that the Lord has definitely had to deal with me on tax season. Why is that? Because I used to have a poverty mindset about this season. What it was is that we had no money, and so when we had no money, we would get a decent-sized tax return. It was the only time of the year I ever had money. Praise the Lord. Has anyone else ever been there? Praise God. So tax season was the only time of year that I ever had money, and so I always got excited for it. Well, when I first started coming to the church and getting faithful, one of the things the Lord started, and I'm not telling you to do this, but one of the things that the Lord started dealing with me on was sowing our tax return. And I wasn't real happy about that. For years, God would not let me keep my tax return, it seemed. I had to start sowing it. And why? I mean, the whole thing, or pretty much the whole thing, you know, pretty close to it. I certainly wasn't doing with it what I wanted to. But what was he teaching me? Because I was so just waiting for that season to come along that I was so focused on that time of year coming along that I forgot about believing or trusting God for things. And what I did was I was counting on the government to pay me. Praise the Lord. People live in that. You look across the United States, how many people, what is one of the big things that that every politician seems to promote is about getting more tax money back into the hands of people who don't have it. So what is that? That's government trying to get people to be reliant on them. Amen. But what God was teaching me through this, and this is not about money, but this is about the Lord learning to trust the Lord. Amen. What the Lord was teaching us in those times is he was teaching us how to not rely on something someone else is going to do, but to rely on what he does. See, our life should be daily in the place, live daily in the place of relying on him. Why do I bring this up? How does this have anything to do with what I was talking about with the family? Well, because people don't defraud insurance companies because they're trusting God. They defraud insurance companies because they have issues. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Praise the Lord. False accidents, false insurance claims, false, you know, sometimes people have false injuries and then they try to claim it. And I've seen a lot of Christians do these kinds of things. And I'm sitting there thinking, what does that show the world about God? Because, you know, maybe you deceive the insurance company. Maybe you deceive the government. But you aren't deceiving those who know you. You aren't deceiving those who are watching you. You aren't deceiving those who are close to you. Praise the Lord. What you're telling them is that it's okay to be deceptive when you're supposed to be a person of truth. What do people see when they look at you? Amen? Well, glory to God. This is good. I don't know. I didn't plan on saying any of this part, but it was good anyways. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that how we are is what the world sees of God. They do not want, by and large, why people don't like Christians, I'm not saying all the time, but by and large, it's because Christians act like idiots. They go out into the world and they act like morons. They don't act like Christ out there. They're not living like Christ. They're going out there and they're acting like the rest of the world. And then when it's convenient, they say, oh, glory to God, or praise the Lord, or I go to church or something like that. And then the other people are looking around saying, you're a fool. Why would I want what you have? Think about that. Do you want, if you're looking in at your life, do you want your life? Ask yourself that. Do I want the life that I'm living currently? And if the question, if the answer to that question is no, child of God, you got some serious heart and soul searching to do. You got some serious heart things that you need to be after. Is my life something that I would want? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you, being in your life, don't want your life, ain't nobody else going to want it either. And if there ain't nobody else that wants your life, then nobody else is going to be going after the God that you serve. Why would they want what you got? Praise the Lord. I want people to want what I got, and that's why I got to live it. It is imperative that we live the life that God has given us to live. Amen? And stop coming up with excuses of why we can't do so. Amen? That does not mean that we're going to live without opposition. I am not telling you that you have to live life without opposition. I am not telling you that you are going to walk around in flowery beds of roses. Praise the Lord. I'm not telling you that everything always is going to look like it works out. But if you trust God, everything always will work out. Amen? We must live differently. Glory to God. It's your job to live it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, I'm going to bring this up to start with. Matthew 11, 4 through 5. Praise the Lord. Believe me, we got lots of scripture to turn to, so just go ahead and look at it up here. Write it down if you're taking notes. Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things which you hear and see. Verse 5, praise the Lord. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Why did Jesus answer this? This is when they came to him. John was in prison. John the Baptist was in prison. He sent his disciples, go ask Jesus if he is the one that we seek or is there another? And Jesus, how did Jesus answer? He said, what do you see? He said, what do you see? Just look at the fruit. Look at what you see. What you see tells you if God is present or if God is not present. I said, what you see is what tells you whether God is present or whether God isn't present. Look at your life. What do you see? Is God present in your life? Do you see the God who is bigger than all circumstance in your life? Do you see the God who is bigger than all sickness in your life? Do you see the God who is bigger than any poverty in your life? Do you see this God coming through for you? Do you see these things changing? See, the thing is so many people have put it off on God, and I'm just going to tell you quite frankly, I'm tired of it. I, as a child of God, as someone who knows the Lord, I have grown overly tired, in fact, even mad, that people have spent so much time putting all the pain and all the suffering in the world off on God when he is the savior of the world. He is the one, he is the answer to the problem, and people always put it off on God like somehow it's his fault, like something he didn't do. No, it's because his children are being bastard children. They're running around not following the God that gave them the way. Jesus paid a way for us to walk in victory, and it is an absolute travesty. We do not walk in that victory. We must walk in the victory that Jesus paid for us. We must walk in the prosperity that Jesus paid for us. We must walk in the health that Jesus paid for us. Part of this is coming together as a local church and saying, by God, we are going to have the things of God. I am tired of not having it. I'm tired of it looking fake. I'm tired of not, we're not fake news, praise the Lord. We are the real deal. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We are the real deal, and we need to act like the real deal. We are going to live in the real deal because Jesus paid for it. Amen? Praise the Lord. When you have sorrow, when you have tribulation, when you have things coming against you, praise God. Hallelujah. When these things are rising up against you and trying to take your life, you need to look back at it and say, no, enough is enough. It's time for it to stop. I've had enough. My God is bigger, and I'm not dealing with this garbage anymore. I'm not dealing with your garbage anymore, Satan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't often quote songs in the pulpit, but I'm going to today, especially Christian songs. You know how I seem to feel about it. I don't hate all Christian songs. I even was listening to some this week, if you can believe it. Praise the Lord. But I just listen to ones that aren't stupid. Amen? Praise the Lord. Actually, the one I'm going to quote, probably this band has done some stupid ones, but this one was really good. And I wanted to quote it because it was playing in my spirit as I was preparing this. It says, but if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Why, if we are the body, there's a very real thing in this. Praise the Lord. If they're posing a real good scriptural question, if we are truly the body, why aren't we going? Amen? Now listen, my hands and my feet, they go places. They do things. Amen? They don't have to be forced to do them. They do so quite freely. Amen? Now they work with the head, and there is nothing wrong with that, but I can't just, my head can't just sit there and think, move. They don't move until they move. Amen? And so the same thing with us. We don't walk in what God has for us until we decide we're walking in it. Until we're said, no more. I no more with it. I'm not relying on anybody else, on anything else. I'm relying on God. Amen? And we put it all in his court. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we are the body, we need to ask ourselves, why? What does it look like? What is the body supposed to be doing? Have you ever looked at a lazy person and thought, why ain't that body doing more? You know what I mean? Have you ever thought, if you're a parent, sometimes you come home and you take a look at your kids and you think, why ain't that body doing more? We were real blessed. What was it? Yesterday morning, we woke up and here come Ezra storming in our bedroom, you know, on a mission. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she was. She was storming on a mission. Friday night, we had a family night, sit there, watch a movie and stuff, and you know, you had all your stuff out, whatever we had, M&Ms and Thin Mints that had been frozen. Praise the Lord. You ever had a frozen Thin Mint? Oh, it changed your life. Glory to God. But we had some of those, and we had, you know, cups of coffee out and glasses of water and all that kinds of stuff and blankets and everything. And we didn't get to go to bed till quite late on Friday night. It was probably like 1 o'clock in the morning for us. And so we went to bed. We kind of left everything out. You know, you know how you do sometimes when you're partying like rock stars. Praise the Lord. But anyway, Saturday morning, Ezra comes storming in our bedroom on a mission, and she cleaned up everything. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we were really blessed by it. We're like, that's right. That's right. That's our girl. Hallelujah. But but that's the way the body should be doing it. We shouldn't have to tell her, this is your house too. You want it nice too. You like it when it's clean, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so the same thing was, with the body of Christ, we need to keep our gardens clean. We need to keep our gardens rooted and weeded. Amen. Listen, ain't nobody else. The one thing I found in life, I had a garden a few times. We try every year to have some sort of garden. But one thing I have found, there ain't never been anybody who volunteers to weed them. Nobody weeds my garden. What does that mean? You got to weed your own garden, amen? You got to clean it out yourself, praise the Lord. And there ain't nothing, unless they pay you to do it. Kimberly gets paid to do it sometimes, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And she does, actually, she does weed. She does weed people's gardens. Does she weed your gardens out? Praise the Lord. See, that's what happens when you have good friends that weed gardens too, because Chris is like, hey, that garden just ain't getting weeded, I guess. Praise the Lord. Kimberly, like, yes, it is, because I come over here, so it's got to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise. That doesn't mean, I know spring's coming, that doesn't mean you make friends with Kimberly for that reason. Be friends with her, but not so you get your garden weeded. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Praise the Lord. If we are the body, weed Chris's garden. Nobody else wants to weed our gardens. We must learn to weed our own gardens. Amen? Until your hands reach down and start doing it, ain't going to happen. You can look at it all day long, but those weeds don't move by themselves, do they? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3:7. Now, here we see, in 1 Timothy 3 here, we see the qualifications of the pastor. It says bishop, but really it's the same word as pastor, overseer of a church, glory to God. And it gives a bunch of the qualifications. But what was on my heart here was to focus on in verse 7 and 8, glory to God. A lot of people, they want to be pastors. They want to be, I'm not saying everybody does, but there's a lot of people that think that that's, a glorious thing, and that, you know, in the body, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that will strive for such things. Mostly it's because they want to be heard. But you know what's real interesting is the qualifications of the pastor. And actually, if you read them, only one, there's 17 qualifications of a pastor listed here in 1 Timothy 3. And only one of those, right? Am I right? 17 or 16, 17. But only one of those has anything to do with teaching. The rest of the qualifications for a pastor are all about character issues. Praise the Lord. And, in 1 Peter 1 Peter 5:3, don't turn there, just listen. It says, nor is being lords over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And that was also written to a pastor. And so we understand that the direction of the pastor is to be an example to the flock. Now, if God has told us to be examples to the flock, what does that mean the flock should do? They should want to follow in like manner. Amen. My pastor always taught me. He said one of the number one examples of a good pastor or a good leader is somebody who wants to follow because they want to and not because they're made to. And so I endeavor to be a pastor who lives my life in such a way that people want to follow my example because it's a good example, because it's not because they're forced to, but because they want to serve. And I think we, praise the Lord, I think that we've accomplished that at least to some level. And, you know, I'm always endeavoring to be more so a pastor like that. But I say all this because when we look here at the verses that we're about to look at, we have to understand that this isn't just for a pastor, because these scriptures aren't just written for a pastor. They are written to a pastor, but we know that these are examples for the whole flock. Amen. And, you know, even Paul said, he said, follow my example. You know, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Another place he said to follow his example and to do things do the things that you've seen and heard in me. Amen. And so that's exactly what we're doing. I'm just being a copy of my pastor, who is a copy of his pastor, who is a copy, you know, and we all trace our roots back to Christ. Praise the Lord. But Jesus showed us how to live, and he lived this way. And so we understand that this is an important way for us to live. But look at what it says here in verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. So we understand that having a good testimony on those who are on the outside, this is not talking about the testimony of how you got saved. This is the testimony of how you live. You know, folks, as Christians, we should have more than one testimony. First of all, there's the testimony of how we come to know the Lord. That's a great and wonderful testimony. How God has called us in, how he brought us to him, how he saved us, how he changed our lives. That's a wonderful testimony. But we should also have the continuing testimony of how we grow in Christ, how we've gone from glory to glory, how we've not been stagnant, how God has worked in us. You know, the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Amen. Now, we understand that he can't force us to complete it because he's still given us free will. So that completion only happens in our willingness to follow him. So as we follow Christ, as we do the things that Jesus has taught us, as we do the word, praise the Lord, we will be people that God will complete this work in. That's a testimony. Praise God. I am not where I'm going, but I'm certainly not where I was. That's a testimony. And so I get to share that with you guys. I get to share that with others. I make it a point in my life. We make it a point in our lives that when people see us, when those family members see us, and I'm going to tell you, we have had family members, they're not, maybe haven't come into the Lord yet, but they have completely changed in how they look at us just because of how we live. Because we've determined we're not going to be the ones that are sitting there always being negative, always complaining. That we talk about how we always try to find good in any sin. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we need to live in such a way that we're always striving for that perfection. That we're always, it's not a bad thing. It's not stressful to strive for the goodness of God. Hallelujah. When you look at God and you say, Lord, I want to look more like you. I want to be more pleasing to you, because I know if I'm pleasing to you, it's going to be palatable to them. I said, if I'm pleasing to God, I'll be palatable to people. Amen. And that's exactly what I want. I want people, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is 1 Peter 4:8. It says, above all, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You know what that means? If you love like Jesus loved, praise the Lord, you can be messed up in some areas. Glory to God. But it'll get covered because you love. Now, see, true love doesn't just say, oh, I love you, or act nice. There's a lot of things what true love really does. True love is a sacrifice. True love is a putting down of your own self. True love is to give your life for others. Praise the Lord. True love is to give up what you want. You know, as a parent, you know, one of the greatest jobs as a parent is supposed to be sacrifice. You know, I see so many parents who make so many decisions not considering their kids. Do the decisions that you make, does it upset the life of your kids? Does it make your home life unstable? Because if you're making your home life unstable, then you're not sacrificing for your kids. You love yourself. I said, if you make your home life unstable, how do you make your home life unstable? Well, if your kids never know what to expect, if they never know how it's going to be, if they never know what's going to happen in their life, you're making your home life unstable. We need to live our lives in such a way that there's stability. One of the hallmarks, this is for all the things that we could fail at as an organization, as a family church. I'm not saying we fail, but I'm just saying that nobody's perfect. No group or nobody's got it all figured out. And we're constantly trying to make ourselves better. I can tell you this as a pastor of these churches who is connected to the other pastors and is connected to the leader. I can tell you one thing that I have found as being a pastor is there is not perfection. There is certainly not perfection amongst us. But what I have found is people who want to be perfect. People who are always striving to be better. People that even though they may have missed it today, they're working at trying to get better. And that is a wonderful thing. Amen. We are not perfect, but we're striving for perfection. But one of the greatest qualities of the family churches that I have found is this thing called stability. I was the most unstable person in my life. And being sitting under the Word of God in this place where God has planted me, God has brought stability to my life, stability to my actions, stability to my living. And I'm just going to wait in gold. Hallelujah. Man, I was telling my wife, even if we had nothing else, man, we're so blessed right now. Even if we never gained anything else, praise the Lord, God's still got more for us. God's got more for us to do. But even if it just stayed like this forever, we're happy. Our personal life, I mean, we've never been so satisfied. Am I wrong? Praise the Lord. And so stability is one of those things that attains those things. But we have to endeavor to be stable people. We have to look at instability and say no. We have to say no. We have to refuse things. You know, listen. There's any man at any time could get tempted to go in another direction from his wife. What's a man that does is one that doesn't want to be stable. That's a man who decides and makes a poor decision. I decide I want to be stable. So if something tries to, and believe me, stuff always tries to raise up and take your attention away from where it is. But what do? We put it back in the place where it's supposed to be. Amen. It's the same thing with the things of God. It's the same thing with your family. You want to be a good family, a family man? Fathers, I'll just tell you right now. You want to be a good family man? Lead by example. Listen, a lot of men, praise God, hallelujah. A lot of men over the years have taken this place of authority that it seems that the Bible gives us, and it does. Gives us a place of prominence and authority. Praise the Lord. But there's a great responsibility that comes with that. It's not that you just get to be King Kong and say, what I say goes, and this is the way that it is. You remember, the hallmark of a good leader is one who people want to follow because they want to follow, because they love them. Amen? One of the things I've endeavored with my kids is I've told them from day one, I've told them I'm not perfect. I am far from perfect. But I'll tell you this, that if I know I've been wrong, I don't have a problem apologizing. I don't have a problem saying I was wrong. If you can't admit you're wrong, you're a person that will never be stable. Praise the Lord. Do you know that about spiritual people too? If you can't ever admit that you're wrong or that you could miss it, you're not stable. Just because you think you know, just because you think that you've gotten that direction, praise the Lord. People make decisions all the time and they come to, praise God, hallelujah. I'm just telling you, I've heard the words God has told me so many times, it makes me want to vomit. And I'll tell you why it makes me want to vomit, because most of the time when I hear it, it's not true. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. I'm very careful about saying God told me this or God told me that. If God didn't speak to Jesus that much, if he's speaking to you that much, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. It's out there. But Christians, I am just telling you, people in our camp, they get like that. They get fruity and flaky. They get out there like they're always here. Now, God will always lead you. I'm not telling you he won't. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'll get on something else before I get stoned here. But we want to be examples, amen? We want to be examples, stability. We want to be stable in the world. People need to look at our lives and say, you know what? That stability is what I don't have. And I see that stability in you. Where does that come from? And you say that stability comes because my God has put that in me, because the Word of God puts that in me. I want to be a stable Christian, amen? Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean you can't get excited. That doesn't mean you can't shout. It doesn't mean you can't run. None of that stuff means you're not stable. Praise the Lord. But you can keep it in balance. That is stability. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I still got to get on here to verse 8. It says, likewise, deacons. And now deacons are people who are like kind of like elders in a church. They kind of serve. You know, we don't really use the term nowadays, but not as a fault. It's just like we don't call people prophet so-and-so. It wouldn't be wrong, but we don't do it because it's gotten kind of goofy out there. So people wouldn't really understand it if we say it. Amen. Glory to God. But it goes on to say, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. Praise the Lord. I want to read these, though, to you also in the Amplified because I think it really brings it out. Yeah, 1 Timothy 3:7-8 in the Amplified. It says, furthermore, he must have a good reputation and be well thought of by those outside the church. Do you have a good reputation and are you well thought of by those outside the church? Wow, that's amazing. That would give us some time to work on ourselves right there, amen. How do the people think about us? You know, I have had people judge this work based on what somebody in the church has done. Yeah, I've seen it. I have heard this church be called the crooked church because of what somebody, now it's not right to do that. And I'll just tell you right now that people need to be careful when they do stuff like that because you can bring, they even not being a Christian, they can bring judgment on themselves when they come against the Lord's anointed. But this is the thing. People will judge the work of the Lord. In fact, I use this example all the time. One time I was going to get my, I went to this tattoo shop that I frequented. I was friends with them, and I went in there, and in there, the tattoo shop, you know, there's all kinds of demonic stuff all over the walls and everything, and you know, every time that, when I still got tattoos, every time I tipped the tattoo artist, because I believe in tipping, believe in good, being good to people, and I'd tip the tattoo artist, and every single time I'd tip him, he would say the same phrase. He would say, I'll be sure to use this for evil. Well, the last time I walked in there, I'll never forget the Spirit spoke up on the inside of me because I had started being an usher at that time. You know, I had all kinds of piercings in my head and stuff like that. Not all kinds, but I had a few anyways. Amen. It was all kinds for back then, but nowadays nobody would even blink at it. But I had piercings in my head and stuff like that. And I went into the tattoo shop, and on my way in, I heard the Spirit of God speak on the inside of me and said, are you willing to let people judge my work because you need to go into this place? And I thought, whoa, what is that? You know, what he was saying is this, is because I was an usher and I would stand out front of the church. People would see me now. If they saw me walking, maybe they're just driving down the street and they saw me walking into that place. But on the very outside of the church or of the tattoo shop was, little demons and Satan things and stuff like that, you know, right in the window. It was on display. They made a display of it. Yeah. They made making a mockery of the things of God. And so it was more important. Was it more important to God, what the Spirit of God was saying to me? Is it more important for you to go in there and do whatever you're doing in there and to give the chance that my work would be judged? Do you realize that by what you do, the world is judging this church? By what you do, the world is judging your God. They are judging your faith. Praise the Lord. You say, people, a lot of people's response, don't judge me, don't judge me. Well, there'd be no reason to judge you if you just act right. There'd be no reason to judge. Nobody would have anything to say. Well, we'll see that here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be of good reputation and be well thought of by those outside the church. You know, if you have wrong dealings with people, if you're shysty, yeah, that's where all this was born out of. I wasn't thinking about anybody in this church. I was just thinking about the people that were presented before me. But as I was doing it, the Spirit spoke on the inside of me and said, preach this. I even told those family members, I said, you know what I said to them? I was like, I'm going to preach on this weekend. Oh, that's neat. What are you going to, you know, they didn't even know exactly what I was talking about, all of what I was talking about. But it's just the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God will teach us because he wants his church to realize. He wants the church to realize. Denny, can I use you as an example? You don't mind? You don't even know where I'm going with this, but praise the Lord. Praise. I remember the first time I ever walked into Denny's business. I think Becky had started coming here by then, or maybe she hadn't, but I had heard about her. And I had just decided when I came here to this town, it was important for me to try to utilize as much local business as I could and stuff like that. And so because I just wanted to be a blessing to the community. I wanted people to know me. I wanted them to know about my God. Amen. And so I walked in there, and I remember the first time I walked in there, and to get something done, maybe an oil change or something like that. And this was far before Denny was coming here. And Denny, I walked in the door, and Denny grumbled at me, you know, because that was kind of what he did. Praise the Lord. And I scared me a little bit, you know, but I just answered the question really quickly. You know, I think it was kind of like, what do you want, or something like that. You know, I just kind of answered the question quickly and moved on to the business. Praise the Lord. But you know, last year I was you know, we know that Becky started coming to the church, and of course God started doing wonderful things in her life, and as a result of what God was doing in her life, it started drawing Denny in. Now I'm going to use this example because I love this. This I'm going to go even further than I planned. Praise the Lord, because this is a good moment to talk about what God has done. And so Becky started coming into the church, and she started getting stirred, and she started getting excited. Now, the first time I met Becky was in a hair salon uptown, and the day that I met her was kind of a mess of a day for her. It wasn't a good day. I hope you don't mind me saying it, but it was kind of a mess of a day for her. She was not in a good way mentally. She was hurt. She was upset. She had a lot of things going on in life. Everything was falling apart in her estimation anyways. And so I gave her, it was on my heart, we were up in the storefront at the time, and it was on my heart to give her one of these books called The Goodness of God that my friend Pastor Mike Anderson wrote. If you've never had one, we have some. We do end up giving them out. Usually people get saved. But it's just a wonderful book that talks about the goodness of God. And so I gave her and several other people one. And give it some time later, we got into this building. She started coming to the church. Praise the Lord. And she sat about where she sat right now. Amen. And she came in and things started changing for her. And she started getting happy. And pretty soon we started seeing all these other, you know, all these other changes in her. And I remember the first time that she brought her son Michael here. Praise God. Hallelujah. He wouldn't even get out of the car to come in and talk to me. He was sitting out in the Jeep because he thought we were called. Praise the Lord. And so praise the Lord. And now he's fully involved in it. Brainwashed him too, and so we were. I'll get back to Denny here in a minute. I haven't lost it, but I just figured this whole story is so good. We got to tell it, amen. And some of you might not know it, you know. Praise the Lord. And so I remember Becky came in. She had some kind of business dropping something off or something, and I was here. And she come in and she said, "Michael's out there, but he won't come in to even say hi to you." I said, "Well, I'm going to go out and say hi to him." So I did. And he was the same way. He was leery. But I remember it was a Christmas service. It was the first service you two both came to, right? It was here. We had a Christmas. See, this is why it's important to do stuff like that. But we had a Christmas service and had a meal and stuff. And they came and they kept coming. And we remember in between that time, but I don't want to get too far ahead of the story. This is a good story, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But not because I'm telling it, just because it's a great testimony. But Becky would sit right there in that spot. And she would say to us, she said, "I'm sitting here because," she said, "I believe that my husband is going to come to church. I'm believing that he's going to come to church. And I'm sitting in a place where I think that he would like to sit." Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's sacrifice. She could have sat anywhere in the room, but she sat in that spot because something in her told her that's where her husband liked to sit. Praise the Lord. Now look at him today. You know, some of the most, the most wonderful people, of course, that we have are connected to the work and what God is doing, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm just going to tell you this one time. One time when we were, we had to put in a whole floor out there. We had to replace the floor because the original floor that we put in. And, yeah, it was all buckled and stuff. And they paid for it. You remember that? You guys remember that? Yeah. They came to us privately. They didn't want any kind of recognition for it. But it's free, no charge. That's just a side thing. But anyways, we're back to my original story. Yeah. They didn't even blink about it. They just wanted to do it because they're so happy for what the Lord had done for them. So at any rate, praise the Lord. At any rate, it's always good, guys, just so you know, to always reflect on things like this. So whenever you have, because Satan will always come to try to oppose what God is doing in your life, but you just reflect on the goodness of these. So at any rate, we fast forward to what I was originally telling this story about. It was much less than, but we're here anyways. Every year, there's a fireworks here on the 4th of July, and the fire department, the Chautauqua Fire Department, has asked us if they can park the fire trucks out here in the parking lot because it's a good staging area for them to do it. If there was an emergency, they can get out quick. And we're like, oh, absolutely, anything we can do to help the community. And so they come, and I always like to talk to them and stuff like that and offer them coffee or whatever. This year, we were hooking them up to electricity. We're giving them some electricity from one of the trucks so they didn't have to keep it running or something. And one of the fire chiefs was talking to me, and he said, "You know," he said, "I just want to thank you." And I said, "For what?" And he goes, "Yeah, I figured for letting them park the trucks here." He said, I don't know what you've done with Denny. But he said, since he has been coming to this church, he is the nicest guy. I go into his shop, and he is just so nice and so pleasant. Praise the Lord. I've noticed the same thing, too. I'm not afraid to go in there anymore. You know? Praise the Lord. You know, it's just a testimony. It's not a testimony, of course, of what we're doing so as much as it is what God is doing in us. Amen. And what he's doing in all of us. How does the world see you? See that I actually heard this said one time about Becky as well. I heard somebody had said, have you seen Becky lately? Have you seen what happened to her? I don't know, something has changed in her. See, people recognize God in your life. And I'm not saying, now, Denny and Becky, I don't want to give your secrets away, but they're not perfect. Amen? They don't do everything perfectly. They probably, don't always, they're not just like hanging out with angels all day long and stuff like that. In fact, we've had some interesting conversations, praise the Lord. But listen, they're not hanging out with me either. They are. They're protecting me, but you know what I mean? I mean, it isn't like I'm walking in like I've been in glory land all day long. Sometimes I got flesh too, you know. Praise the Lord. But we get through it. We move to the other side, and we always strive, and we always correct, and we always keep going. Why? Because God is so good. How the world sees us matters. The greatest testimony of a church is the people who get their lives changed in it. Praise the Lord, you know. And of course, you know, and I don't want to discount Michael either. Of course, Michael is a phenomenal help to the church. Whenever there's things going on, anybody who serves in here knows that, you know, and of course we got others too, but today it was their commercial. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we got more scripture to read here. Be well thought of by those in the outside the church, lest he become involved in slander and incur reproach and fall into the devil's trap. See, we can become involved in slander because of the way that we act. And then we fall into the devil's trap. Listen, all this criticizing and all the critical nature and all this hatred and all this these kind of things, that's all the devil's snare. That's how the devil is trying to snare people. Oh, let's just get somebody talking bad about this president, or let's get somebody talking bad about the mayor, or let's get somebody talking bad about the, you know, this or that. You know, that's not God. In like manner, the deacons must be worthy of respect, not shifty and double talkers, but sincere in what they say, not given to much wine, not greedy for base gain, craving wealth and resorting to ignoble and dishonest methods of getting it. You know what's an honest method of getting wealth? Earning it, working for it, not the government giving it to you, not stealing it from an insurance company. But I pay into that insurance company. I don't care unless it was something. Listen, I've had car accidents and the insurance company has paid out. That's fine. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. But that doesn't mean that you go purposely do something so you get paid out. If you do, listen, I'm just telling you, you're siding with the, but look at this. I wanted to focus on this part. It says, not shifty and double talkers, but sincere in what they say. You know what a double talker is? A double talker is somebody who'll say one thing to your face and go out and say something else behind your back. Somebody that says, oh, you know, praise the Lord, I love you, Pastor, but then they'll go home and say, I don't like what Pastor's doing. That's a double talker. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it doesn't have to be just with pastors. It be with anybody. Well, I don't know why they always do it that way. I'll tell you why they do it that way. Because we're led by the Spirit. You believe they're led by the Spirit? If you don't believe we're led by the Spirit, then you better find a different place. I'm just telling you the truth. Because you ain't going to do much good here. In fact, all you're going to do is hinder us from being led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. You're being used by the devil. So go somewhere else and be used by the devil somewhere else. Amen. Don't be used by the devil here. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't like what we're doing or you don't understand, then go to prayer about it. Don't complain about it. Go to prayer and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Come to me and say, Pastor, I don't understand this. And if I still don't tickle your flesh, if what I say still doesn't make you happy, then what you need to do is go to prayer and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Change his heart or change mine. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to lift up my pastor anyways. I'm not going to complain. You know how many things in this nation would change around if the nation got behind the president instead of complaining about him and prayed for him? Listen, I don't care if you like him or don't like him. Get behind him and pray for him. Say, Lord, I pray that this president is successful. I pray that he does everything you've called him to do. I don't care if you like him or don't. You don't have to like him. It doesn't matter if you like him. It doesn't matter if you hate him. None of that matters. Praise God. Hallelujah. I probably would not have the current president babysit my children. I probably would not do that. I don't know. I probably wouldn't, though. But that doesn't mean that I can't pray for him. That doesn't mean that I can't uphold him and, well, praise God. Hallelujah. See, people don't like this. People want to complain. They want to fight. They want to argue. They want to do what they're not supposed to do instead of just doing what's really effective. Amen? Notice this. When you're acting in such a way, you're being effective, but it's not for God's kingdom. It's for Satan's kingdom. Complaint always ends up, glory to God. Hallelujah. Titus 2, 7 through 8. Again, I'm just going to bring it up here. It says, in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Amen? So in all things, we should be showing ourselves as a pattern of good works. We have to understand that. How do people look at what we do? Now listen, that does not mean, it doesn't mean that everybody that walks through Denny's door has to get their work done for free for him to be good. Because he'd never have a business if he did that. or anyone else. It doesn't mean that just because you want to serve doesn't mean that everybody, that you should go and do everybody else's business. I found this as a person who can build. There was people in the church early on that used to try to use me. Yeah, there's all kinds of Christians in every kind of church. And there's people that would be, I literally had people calling me up saying, I have this problem, can you come over and fix it? Or not even, no, one didn't call, even ask me if I could come over and fix it. One just called me telling me to come fix it. Literally calling to tell me to come fix it. What are we going to do about this? Well, I don't know about what you're going to do about it, but I ain't doing nothing about it. Amen? It ain't my job to. My mom did that. My mom is a blessing. Glory to God. She wants to help people. She does things. She does all kinds of neat, crafty things. She sews. She can bake. She can do it all. Praise the Lord. But I remember sometime when a Christian brought her a bag of clothes, and they said, and this is literally what they said. I got these at the Salvation, or I got these at a discount store or something like that, but none of them fit. I was wondering if you'd sew them all for me. Now, why would you do something like that? No, it's something different if someone said, hey, you go to the store, get some clothes, and if they don't fit, I'll sew them. But you don't just volunteer somebody to do what you want because you want to be cheap. You know what I mean? You start believing God. You start using your faith and saying, you know what? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm going to have these things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But see, people always try to look for the easy way out. God is not an easy way out, God. And I'll just tell you right now, I'll just be honest with you, up front with you right now. Praise the Lord. If you're an easy out person, then God is going to take you down a road. He's going to bring you down a road that is full of not easy outs until you get it through your thick skull that he is not a God of easy out. Now, when I say he's not a God of easy out, it's easy if you just receive Jesus, accept him, and you follow him all the days of your life. Oh, he'll make it light and easy. But if you're just you just want the easy out, you know what I'm saying, the difference, amen? If you're shifty, if you're double-tongued, if you're making backhanded deals, praise the Lord. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3, 13. Hallelujah. First Peter 3, 13. Read to verse 17. And who is he? Excuse me. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Brothers and sisters, it would do us some good to meditate these two scriptures. Who is he who can harm you if you become followers of what is good? In other words, you do what God is going to do, he's going to come through for you. But even if you suffer, even if something happens, even if there's opposition, praise the Lord, for righteousness' sake, you see, there's different kinds of opposition. Opposition's on Christians because you're trying to live righteous, and there's opposition's on Christians because you're living like a doofus. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. If you live like a doofus, you're going to get opposition, and God isn't just going to swoop in and erase it all the time. That's kind of that easy way out kind of mentality. Listen, if you're doing stupid things left and right, you're going to pay for it. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to pay for it. You can't avoid it. Why? Because you brought it in your own life. And God isn't going to just come in with his magic pixie dust, sprinkle it over you, and send you on your way. It doesn't work that way. This isn't our God. So if that's the God you're looking for, I don't know, maybe that's a God at the church up the street. Go there and try them, because it's not the God here. The God of the Bible, this God, is not a God where you just do whatever you want to do. You live whatever way you want to live, and then he swoops in and just takes it all away. No, praise the Lord. He's not, that's not, that's actually, you know what? If that, Bible tells us he's a good parent. He's a good father. Now, if you're a parent that does stuff like that, you're a parent that needs to be smacked upside the head. You can't just cover all your kids' sins and then expect that it's going to be fine for them. You'll send them to hell. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes you gotta, you know, there's times that with our kids on different things that we tried to teach them certain things and they didn't want to listen. And it finally got to the point where we're just like, they're going to have to learn. They're just going to have to learn. I don't want them to learn the hard way, but sometimes you got to learn the hard way. Why? Because you didn't listen to the easy way. God is okay with that. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Where was I? 3:13. Amen. 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Why do you not be afraid? Because if your knowledge of God is true, if your knowledge of God is good, then you understand this, that no matter what comes at you, you always prosper on the other side of it, so don't be afraid. Listen, if it was going to end in torture and pain and death, and that's all that it was, there'd be reason to be afraid. If it was going to end in your ruin, there would be reason to be afraid. You're only afraid of something that might be able to actually happen. But if you know who your God is, you know that it can't touch you, so you just don't be afraid. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. It means set him apart. Sanctify him. Sanctify means to be set apart, set separate. Praise the Lord. You set God apart in your hearts. You say, God is different than all this other stuff. God is bigger than all the other trials. Everything that would happen in my life, God is the focus. I've set him apart. So no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what is out here, good, bad, and different, doesn't matter. None of that compares to my God who is set apart and put up on a shelf. Praise the Lord. I always think about it like a trophy. A trophy is not something, if you got a nice, good trophy that you're proud of, you don't just put it in a drawer and then throw a bunch of garbage on it. What do? You put it prominently on a shelf. You put it on display so everybody walks away. Hey, let me tell you about this trophy. And that's exactly what Christians need to do with their God. They need to set him apart and put him on a pedestal and say, this is my God. When you come into my home, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exactly the way Christians need to live. We're serving our God. Look at everything I do. It points to him. Praise the Lord. I'm not perfect yet. I haven't got it all figured out yet, but this is what I'm looking to, and that's why I'm doing good. That's why I'm always getting through. That's why I'm always conquering. Listen, stop talking about the trial all the time. Stop talking about the opposition all the time. I can't say it enough. If you guys don't listen, you won't ever get it. And I'm not just saying to you. I'm talking to the whole world, praise the Lord. If people don't listen, they will never get it. If Christians don't listen, they will never get it. If you talk and focus on the trial all the time, you will continually have the trial all the time. It won't stop. You can't stop it that way. You know it because that's what you've been doing, and it hasn't stopped. You want to stop the trial? Focus on God. Set him apart in your life. Say, God is my goal. God is what I look to, not the opposition. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I speak to me as well. Praise the Lord. But sanctify the Lord, Lord God, in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That word fear is reverence. It's not being afraid. I love the scripture. Always have it a defense. Always know, always have a reason why you love your Lord. You should know this as Christians. Listen, you don't need to have some fancy thing figured out on how to witness to people. Have a testimony. Know your testimony. And if you don't know one, if you're like, if somebody came to you and said, why do you believe in God? And you can't even answer that question. My God, you're a Christian that's distracted. You're too distracted. You need to know why you believe in your God. Amen? Praise the Lord. having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. That's the only thing, and I've seen that in my own life. I've seen where people have tried to say this and that about me, but then those who know me, they run right to the defense and they say, no, that's foolishness. That's stupidity. Like, what you're saying is absolutely ridiculous. That's not them. See, that's what we have to have. We have to have such a testimony. There will always be people who will speak lies. But the truth will always come true. You know, when I always said this to my son, from our past life, it wasn't good. There was a lot of bad things that happened. And there's a lot of things that were said about me that just weren't true. And a lot of them would get back to him. Now, he was a little boy. And he'd come to me and he'd say, Daddy, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? And finally, I got tired of it. And I just looked at him and I said, Son, do you see this in me now? No. Do you see me acting this way? Well, then there's your answer. Just look at the truth. Just look at what you know. You ain't got to listen to what everybody else says. Just look at what you know. Like, if I'm abusive, do you see me being abusive? Nope. Well, there's your answer. See, a lot of people can go out and say whatever they want, but just because someone says it doesn't mean it's true. They say, well, so-and-so did this. Well, listen, people could come to my wife and say things about me. She knows instantly whether it's true or not. Why? Because she knows me. Amen? Praise the Lord. I said, well, he got grumpy with me. She might say, yeah, that's true. I can see that. He'd do that. He does that sometimes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Your husband was defrauding. He was caught stealing a pack of cigarettes in the convenience store. No, he wouldn't do that. Why? Well, first of all, he doesn't smoke. But second of all, he would never steal it because he knows how to trust God for things. Not that I'm trusting God for cigarettes, but you know what I mean? Like, the only reason I say that is because I used to, when I was younger, you know, and I couldn't buy things legally and stuff, I wasn't good. I'd steal things, man. Praise the Lord. I had a friend that worked in this one store, and I even went in there one day to steal in that store, and the security guard told him, he said, we caught him this time, but we're not saying anything. We didn't do anything because we're waiting for him to come back and do it again, so we really grab him. Praise the Lord. Well, my friend told me. I'm thankful that he did because I didn't want that in the papers. Amen. But see, that's the way I would have been known back then. Praise the Lord. I'm not that way anymore. Again, that was many years ago. Amen. Glory to God. I have no desire to steal whatsoever now. So having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do not want to be people who suffer for doing evil. You can suffer for both reasons. You can suffer for doing good. I ain't going to hide it from you. The difference, if you suffer for doing good, there'll be a time. Listen, it doesn't feel good when you're suffering in the moment. But if you know your God, you know it'll get over, and it'll be good for you on the other side. And if you go through trial right, God also promises, this is the awesome thing about our God, is that if you go through trial right, he promises that once you get to the other side, you're not just going to get through the trial, but you get something on top of it. You get a crown. You get something that's extra. It's like, you know, we're going to pay you for your troubles. It's like working, you know what I mean? Like, I remember back in the day when I worked in the factory, and every once in a while they come to me and say, hey, so-and-so called in on the next shift. Would you work a double shift? And sometimes if I was needing money, I'd be like, yeah, I'll work a double shift. Yeah, it's 16 hours, right through the night, 16 hours straight. Work right through the night. Praise the Lord. But what do we know about the double shift? It was time and a half, man. That wasn't just regular time. That was time and a half. That was good pay. That was, you know, praise the Lord. And so that's why I would do that sometimes, amen. Didn't do it a lot because I hated working there, but I did do it, though, when I needed money. And so that was a reward for going through that suffering. It was suffer to go through the whole night and not sleep. You know, you're fine. You get about 2 in the morning. You get your second wind about 3 in the morning. You're going really strong. About 4 in the morning, you crash and just want to be all done. You know, I'm just telling you, well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you know, even people today, you can't even get people, like, you get people all the time, especially this generation. They think they can get everything without working for it. Listen, if you're trying to get stuff without working for it, well, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not going to go good for you. And God certainly ain't going to bless you. Yeah. Try working your way up. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Love this scripture. It says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, that was in the Amplified. Oh, praise God. Doesn't matter. Basically the same, just with some flavor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we understand. Now we're going to close here. Turn with me to Matthew 5:16. God wants us to be separate. we have to look different. How does the world see us? When they see us, do they see us godly? Do they see us as God has made us to be? Or do they see those Christians that are always complaining? Do they see those Christians that always have an excuse? Do they see those Christians? I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things in my life that I like to go back to and redo, because there were some times as a Christian I didn't live so good. There's some times as a Christian where I did some really awful things, and I'm very regretful of it. Now, Lord will, He will give me ways of redeeming that now. Obviously, He can't go back and relive my life over, and I'm not going to live in sorrow. But I'm just saying that, you know, we have to have that mindset where, God forbid that we stand before somebody and say, hey, you know what? I didn't want to serve God because I looked at you. I mean, that's a pretty sad thing, isn't it? I didn't want to come to your church because I looked at your life. I didn't want to get into what you got. Well, praise God, hallelujah. Matthew 5:16. Praise God, hallelujah. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is maybe just one of the most important verses for us in evangelism. If you want to reach people, is to understand this. He said, let your light shine, so shine before men. I love how it says that. Praise the Lord. Let it shine in such a way that they see your good works, what you do right, and causes them to glorify God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that's the way that a Christian's life should be lived. We are the light to the world. But if the light isn't turned on, praise the Lord, people aren't going to see it. The Bible says we're salt to the earth. But if you don't shake the salt out of the salt shaker onto the food, you're never going to taste it. We don't add what we've got to the world, they're never going to see God. God has chosen us to be the method of His delivery method to the entire world. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you cannot deny that through Scripture. You cannot look at it any other way that Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to the whole world. He's saying, take the message that I've given you, take the things that I've done, and bring it to the world. Judge your actions based on that. Talk to you youth. Because this is a great place to reach you and to reach the world. You need to understand that people are going to watch what you do. And so every decision you make will either push people closer to God or they will drive them farther from God. You make stupid decisions, and kids like to make stupid decisions because they don't think they have consequences. But there are consequences to everything that you do. And one of those consequences may be people ending up in hell because you had to do something dumb. Because you had to live in such a way. Live on fire for God, and you watch how other people get on fire for God. Amen? Get excited about the things of God, and watch how other people get excited about the things of God. And furthermore, if you want people to have breakthrough, live in breakthrough, and watch how people break through. Because when you live in breakthrough, you'll lead other people to breakthrough, because you'll know how to do it. Amen? We live in breakthrough, and that's what we do here. Praise the Lord. We are a breakthrough church. We are a Holy Ghost church living in the direction of God. We are a plans and purpose church. Glory to God. We have purpose. You have purpose. And if we go out and live that purpose, glory to the Lord. Oh, how good it's going to look. Amen.